I got Bojangles on it, Joe.
It's here, the hard sweet tea. I'm going to need you to take a sip of this and tell me, is this a seltzer or is this a beer? Because you know that I enjoy the cheer wine because it's a beer.
Yeah. So my understanding is that this is not supposed to be carbonated, or there's light carbonation to it. At least that's my
understanding. There's a little bit of bubble there. Okay. I got mine in the glass.
Yeah, so this is from AMB. Ooh, okay. Yeah, this is from AMB, Appalachian Mountain Brewing.
There's definitely an iced tea aftertaste.
There is, and they announced this earlier in the year, this hard tea. The can says, steeped like we mean it. And, you know, it looks just like a Bojangles. It's, you know, legendary, 5% alcohol.
I was going to say, where is the percentage?
They're not selling this at Bojangles, by the way. You can't roll up to a Bojangles and be like, yeah, I'd like a Cajun filet combo with a hard sweet tea. They're going to be like, excuse me, sir? No, you got to go get your Cajun filet combo, French fries, iced tea, and then
it'd be a whole lot cooler if you did.
It really would. So my understanding when we talked to the guys at AMB about this, that there would be light carbonation because they wanted this to be as close to sweet tea as possible. Just boozy.
So it's probably neither. It's probably not a beer, not a seltzer. It's actually like a hard tea.
Yes. The ingredients, filtered water, cold fermented cane sugar, liquid cane sugar, black tea, and malted rice.
So now, Dennis is the tea expert. Black tea is a lot of caffeine or not, Dennis?
More. Black tea is the most.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is beer, technically beer, because you can buy it at the supermarket. It is a malt beverage at the end of the day. But the trick, my understanding, the trick was to get this thing to be flat, so to speak, like actual tea. But here's some of the kickers, man. A, the alcohol is very hard to detect. I'll give it that because it's very sweet. And I'm probably not the best person to ask about this because I've eliminated a lot of sugar from my diet. I cannot do overly sweet things anymore. It's just, I don't do sugar in coffee, creamer, any of that stuff. My only dessert usually, is it peanut butter? Is it Reese's? Then yes, I will do it. This bad boy's got 25 grams of sugar in a can.
Woo. Feels like a lot.
199 calories. Again, that's a lot. A typical IPA will clock in around 150 to 250. There are some IPAs that push 300 calories.
So this is genuinely a sipping tea.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But also very Bojangles. I don't go to Bojangles for light fare. I go to Bojangles
to go hard in the paint.
To go hard in the paint.
You got to recover.
So this would be the ultimate hair of the dog, if we're being honest. Like, Bojangles isn't on the joke. You're not hungover. You just haven't had Bojangles yet.
You're pre-Bojangles.
You're pre-Bojangles. And let me tell you, I mean, I ended up at Waffle House, but damn, I really could have used some Bojangles while we were in Greensboro. But that's revealing too much. The point is, this would go well with a little hair of the dog. You're feeling like crap because you went too hard in the paint the night before? Well, make sure you got these in the fridge. Go get yourself some Bojangles, and I think it'll help out in the grand scheme of things. I would say yes. I would say yes to this.
You're going to want to try it. That's number one. It doesn't taste like a Zima back in the day where you were like, it tastes like Sprite. And then all of a sudden the alcohol chased you like down this terrible rabbit hole. This actually does taste like sweet tea.
I'm telling you right now.
But I also have it on ice and it's delicious.
That's what I'm
on
saying.
Ice.
I'm having it out of the can. Actually, you're doing it right. I wanted to try it out of the can because I know you're doing it out of a glass. Or you get yourself what you have right next to you, a Bojangles cup with
water.
Ice. I know it's water, but you put the Bojangles hard sweet tea in there, and I'm telling you, when the
Canes
make
maybe a lemon in there too.
When the Canes make the playoffs, it's gonna most definitely be part of the tailgate.
Can't wait to try it.
Yeah.
You got an hour and 25 minutes.
Yeah,
don't
I know.
Take it up with the FCC. Okay,
sure. Dennis, let me know how that works.
Take it up with the FCC. They'll get back to you in 5
Actually,
years.
I am genuinely now interested in Dennis's reaction because Dennis does regularly drink tea.
I drink more green tea. Hot green tea.
Yeah, there's
generally not iced tea drink.
There's tea.
You know what I'm saying? Dennis drinks tea. No, I'm not a regular tea drinker.
What I'm getting at is the kind of tea that Dennis is drinking is on some like ancient grains, you know.
Right.
Who knows where it's come from, you know.
That's tea?
80% of the time
it
works
every
time.
You're saying tea is not tea?
This is no.
No?
No.
You make it sound like I'm going Aaron Rodgers ayahuasca sipping.
You might.
Over here.
For all I know, you might.
I don't. But.
So, this is. Bojangles sweet tea is sugar.
Yeah.
It's sugar.
There's no caffeine?
There is caffeine in it, but it's sugar. And I don't mean it as a knock. I'm just saying.
Just what it is.
It's what it is, man. It's sugar water. All right, next up.
One of the four, all of the four, or half of the four.
Speaking of psychoactive teas, it's entirely possible. It's entirely possible that Aaron Rodgers is drinking the ayahuasca while sending a list of demands to the New York Jets before he officially accepts a trade from the Green Bay Packers to the Jets. Look, why does anybody believe Aaron Rodgers at this point? Aaron Rodgers thinks he is this, you know, savant, this learned Renaissance man who sees the world for what it is. The dude's a troll. He's a troll. He is the actual embodiment of a guy online who thinks he's doing something brilliant like, oh, well, you're complaining about society, yet you participate in society, huh? I'm very smart. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Apparently, he sent a list of demands to the Jets in terms of wide receivers.
According to ESPN, they just reached a deal with Alan Lazard.
Oh, so they did.
Four years, $44 million.
The Jets did. So your doomsday Rodgers toying with these scenarios.
I am telling you.
It's in play.
They hired Nathaniel Hackett, who the Denver Broncos hired as their head freaking coach.
Right.
Thinking they were in on the sweepstakes. So they hired this guy who couldn't hack it as a head coach. Hackett, get it? And then they're getting the wide receivers he wants?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, he is so retiring. He is not going to play for the Jets. If he plays for the Jets, I will just consume all the hard Bojangles sweet tea during a show and deal with the consequences. And I feel bad for Mike Greenberg if this is actually how it goes down. He might literally burst into flames on the radio or during Get Up. Next up.
1, 2, 3.
I know everyone was excited about the Panthers trade and you know, that got rid of DJ Moore. And don't worry, Joe. They can just sign another receiver in free agency. Joe, have you seen any this free agency class? Not exactly. Davante Adams and Tariq Hill aren't exactly walking through that door. Mentioned Lazard agreeing to a deal with the Jets in principle here. Jacoby Myers, former NC State receiver, is going to head it to the Raiders. Here are some of the other names. Stop me when you get to a game changer here. Darius Slayton.
No.
Adam Thielen.
No.
Juju Smith-Schuster. I could hear that. DJ Chark. Randall Cobb.
How old is Randall Cobb now?
Speaking of which, Marvin Jones. Julio Jones.
Oh, jeez.
We're just going through the Chiefs' options here now. Byron Pringle, Jarvis Landry, Keneal Harry, N'Keal Harry, get out of here.
Yeah, no.
Sammy Watkins, Mac Hollins.
How old is Sammy Watkins?
Zach Pascal. Like, what I'm trying to say is this is not. The Panthers are going to have to draft a receiver, if not multiple receivers in this draft.
They're going to have to hit in the draft. Good luck.
Good for Myers, by the way, getting a deal with the Raiders. Now, when we talk about receivers, we sometimes should just include tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Nice deal by the Giants today, picking up Darren Waller from the Raiders. That's the kind of move I'd love to see the Panthers get involved in.
Yeah, by the way, you know how that played out, right?
I do
with
not.
Waller. So apparently Waller got married to somebody, I forgot the player's name, on the Aces, on the Las Vegas WNBA team. So apparently they got married, or they're planning to get married. And Josh McDaniels let slip through the media that he was getting married in the next 10 days. That was something they wanted to keep on the low. So McDaniels puts his business out there for everybody to understand when they wanted to keep it private. It's not lost on me that he ends up getting traded.
So I was going to say, so that's a trade. The Giants are going to send a third round pick for Darren Waller? I would trade a third round pick for Darren Waller.
Fair.
Yes. Pick 100.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing about the Panthers and the arguments about why this move to move up to the one spot to take C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, depending on which mock draft you're looking at. You paid a heavy price for the right to guess. Okay, cool. I get that. And you feel very, very strongly that one of these quarterbacks is actually going to be your future of the franchise. And the idea is, well, look at these teams that have been successful. Look at the Eagles, right? Look at the Dolphins and what they've done. Except, where do you see the Panthers getting better around that rookie QB to take advantage of the rookie deal right now? They are not getting a rookie QB in there to hit and then suddenly become a playoff team this upcoming season. I don't see that.
Yeah, even with the division in the situation that it's in the position that it could potentially be in, where it's wide open for them to win it. Again, I get it. Receivers, there's positional value there. You can find guys. And I get DJ Moore is 26 years old. I would not have given up on DJ Moore. That's just me.
They weren't giving up on DJ Moore. They simply had to use DJ Moore to make this deal happen.
Right, but I'm just saying, you look at the free agents out there, it's not going to happen in free agency this year. So what they're going to have to do is draft and draft well. They haven't been able to do that in those later rounds. That's the problem for the Panthers. That's why they're in the situation that they're in.
By the way, Waller got married to Kelsey Plum thanks to Paul, our senior WNBA.
Oh, Vegas. Our Vegas insider.
Our Vegas insider. All right, next up.
And I don't even care who number two is.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. I'm Tim Donnelly here with Coach Pete of Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, is it still true that a million is enough to retire on?
Tim, maybe and maybe not. The most important thing is to get a real plan that gives you income you never outlive. We'll give that away to the next 10 people. Call right now.
The number to call, 800-691-3215. Text TIM to 600-700 if you're interested in texting. Once again, that phone number is 800-691-3215 or text TIM to 600-700 for that deal.
Hubert Davis, head coach, North Carolina, had his radio show yesterday with Jones Angel, and he summed up the season like this.
On Saturday, we had 2 quad one wins. You know, for whatever reason, when we had beaten Ohio State earlier in the year, it went from quad one to quad. On Saturday, we had 2 quad one wins. You know, for whatever reason, when we had beaten Ohio State earlier in the year, it went from quad one to quad two, back to quad one, and you know, it may put us in a position to, you know, be in the NCAA tournament. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, we didn't get it done, and you look back and you're disappointed and you're sad. But we had chances. You know, we had so many chances throughout the year to have a different narrative in a number of games against unbelievable and quality opponents like Iowa State and Alabama and Pitt and Duke and, you know, Miami and Virginia. And at the end of the day, down the stretch, you know, we've always talked about the discipline and the details and just being able to do the little things, especially down the stretch consistently. Those are the things that add up to win games.
So that's Hubert Davis on his coach's show last night with Jones Angel. He talked about what we've talked about all season as it relates to North Carolina expectations. We've seen groups, veteran groups, come back with the singular purpose of championship or bust. This one went bust as opposed to what we saw in 17, what we saw in 09, what we saw in 05.
Just hearing the fork hit the plate in the background of that coach's show, which I think they tape at Top of the Hill,
it's at
right?
Top of the Hill, yeah.
Reminded me of a great Roy Williams anecdote where he said, everybody loves you when you win. Mm-hmm. And you can always tell when you're winning because at the coach's show, everybody's lined up. You know, they come down. They want to see you. They want to talk to you. They want to tell you how great it is that you're winning.
Yeah.
And he said during his tenure at North Carolina, obviously he had what, 1 year where they make the NIT in 10 and then, you know, the pandemic year where they don't play well. He would always make a point during the football season, if the team was having a hard year, he would go to the coach's show on Monday and check in with the coach when he knew everyone wasn't going to be
wasn't feeling it.
So
right.
I have a feeling he probably reached out to Hubert yesterday because just hearing that fork on the plate, you know, you could just tell that was not one of those days where people were telling you and patting you on the back and telling you how great you were. And literally 12 months ago, that's all anyone at Carolina was doing with Hubert Davis. Mm-hmm. The whiplash right now is fascinating. And we've talked a little bit about Carolina fans, and it's only a portion of Carolina fans, of course. It's not every Carolina fan. You're right. It's been all been accelerated by social media. It's all been accelerated by the ability to kind of just react instantly and have these kind of knee-jerk reactions. Joe, they were in the Final Four last year. And now you're seeing a lot of people with the knives out, just as they were before the run last year.
These are the to be fair, these are the same people who only got quiet because of the run last year. And they'll happily take the run. But let's not forget that you and I had several conversations on the air in February of 2022, essentially arguing with Carolina fans who just thought, this isn't the guy. I knew it. You know, who's the next coach coming? You know how many Hey Joe questions we got this time last year about who the next coach was going to be at North Carolina? So I think what ends up happening is you win and quiets those people down. By the way, Roy Williams dealt with the same thing. Ever since Roy Williams and the Kansas sticker thing, there was a group of people who never truly forgave Roy Williams for having essentially two loves in his life.
Right.
Okay. And they're like, it's either you needed, you're a Carolina guy. How could you, how dare you still have this relationship with Kansas? And they never forgave him for that. And I think what's going on here is that people are convinced that the Carolina coach has to be X guy. And Hubert Davis wasn't that guy. And with the year going very similar to last year without the run, you know, 5 weeks in March, February, March, we're here.
But I would retort to that, Hubert Davis can't make the shots for Caleb Love. He can't, yeah. He can't force everyone to give the ball to Armando Bacot in the half-court set, right? You coach the team, you try to put the players in the best possible position to win basketball games. I'm not suggesting that Hubert Davis was faultless this year, but Caleb Love is a mercurial player.
Mercurial.
Right?
Yes.
He made big shots last year. He took a lot of ill-advised shots, but he made some historic shots.
Mm-hmm.
So to turn around this year and be like, how would you want him to handle Caleb Love? Do you want him to bench him and never play him?
Yes.
When exactly what he did was what got you to the successful point the previous year. Of course,
want.
It was without the cushion of Manic. You know, without having the plus of Brady Manic. And that's where I think you hear between the lines, reading between the lines with Hubert Davis when he says, we weren't the same team. And I basically said from the beginning, we're not the same team as we were the previous year. Obviously, the gigantic difference was not having Manic in his exquisite three-point shot.
Now, they're not going to the NIT. This has been a point of conversation for the last 48 hours. And Hubert Davis tried to flesh out the reasons why they decided not to go to the NIT.
There's many factors, you know, that you have to filter through in order to make that type of decision. You know, one of the things that you referenced was, you know, every decision that I make, whether it's personnel or team or anything, it's filtered through what is in the best interest of this program. And, you know, I felt like, you know, what was best interest for this program is to start the process right now in terms of building team and building this program and changing direction that we all wanted to go. And, you know, those factors are a lot different now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the transfer portal is real. It just opened up today. It's free agency now, NIL. And so there's a number of other factors that are different than when I played in college. And I just felt like in the best interest of the team, moving forward to prepare us for next season and starting that now was the most important thing to do.
That's Hubert Davis on the Coach's Show with Jones Angel last night. And look, I agree with him. I don't, I think there's a messaging issue with Hubert Davis that hopefully somebody can either, I mean, can get across to him or he recognizes. There are times where I sit and I sit back and I go, man, you used to crush it on game day. And that's been kind of lacking as the head coach. This dynamic personality as a head coach when it comes to explaining why things are going the way that they're going. Because I do think there's a very logical reason for ending the season the way that they did. And he mentions it there in the transfer portal. Two guys already announced they're going to transfer, Tyler Nickel and Justin McCoy. Okay, fine. Meanwhile, you got Dontre Styles, who is on with Brian Hanks out in Kinston on his radio show, apparently every Tuesday. They do a show called Tuesdays with Trez. Okay, cool. And he openly said, look, I wanted to play in the NIT because they viewed it as an opportunity. And he made reference to the fact that, like, yeah, you know, maybe the NIT is not a Carolina thing.
It is. They've played in it before.
But he was actually looking for the opportunity to play. And why wouldn't he? Guys like Dontre Styles, Tyler Nickel, who just transferred, DeMarco Dunn, Seth Trimble, from February 1st on, played limited minutes, very, very limited minutes. And if this roster is going to look very similar to the next year, what's going to change for somebody like Styles? What's going to change for somebody like DeMarco Dunn or Seth Trimble? Tyler Nickel already saw the writing on the wall. Man, I'll just go somewhere else and play. And that's the game. And this gets back to something you and I have been discussing oftentimes when it comes to North Carolina. Do they understand that how things were do not apply anymore? Other schools do.
It's changing.
Do they?
The whole landscape has changed.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the situation. I think that's what you're hearing from Hubert Davis right there.
Mm-hmm.
The reality of this isn't the old offseason. This isn't the old, let me get, you know, all of the five-star point guards in here and run it back in the summer and have them teach you know, teach the family how this thing works. That's the way it used to be. And you can still have portions of that. You don't have to throw it all out, obviously.
No, of course not.
But what he's saying is we got to get to work. And if I'm sitting here worried about, you know, Pepperdine in the NIT, well, I'm wasting my time.
Next up. Andrei Svechnikov, done. Knee surgery, according to the Carolina Hurricanes. What does that mean for the Stanley Cup? Well, we'll try to make sense of it next.
More great news for Cary commuters. With the new GoCary app, you can track your bus live on the interactive map feature. Stay informed with the latest news and service updates right at your fingertips. Save your favorite locations and routes for quick and easy access, making your daily commute a breeze. Plus, with the GoCary app, you can easily connect to GoCary.org for even more resources and information. Best of all, the GoCary app is absolutely free to download on the Apple and Google Play stores. GoCary, where getting there is just a tap away.
So we've got ESPN on in the studio, and they've got the NHL show The Point with John Buchegras, and in some sort of ESPN Disney crossover event, they are presenting Capitals at Rangers tonight as some sort of real-time computer-generated Big City Greens thing. Are you
looks
familiar?
Looks like a Wii waiting room.
Yeah. Are you
when you played Wii?
Yeah. Are you familiar with Big City Greens?
No, I have no clue.
So it's a cartoon on Disney XD, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Go on.
Pretty sure you just answered your own question. Do I even know what Disney XD is?
Disney XD is Disney's like teen-oriented show. Like
feeling frisky throwing that X in there, aren't they?
Yeah. Ooh, XD. Okay.
Disney, you gotta stay away from that.
So that's where they would put a lot of their like Marvel cartoons, Star Wars stuff, like Star Wars Rebels and Resistance. Less said about Resistance, the better.
Clone Wars?
Yeah, Clone Wars was on XD. Yeah. So anyway, so they got this thing going on, and it's the strangest thing because it's using the actual game, but then replicating it in a cartoon form to try to get kids to watch the NHL. What they're doing is no different than what Nickelodeon, Viacom have done on CBS, where they did the Nickelodeon Slimecast, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Score a touchdown, stuff happens, there's all sorts of graphics, it's more you know, relatable to kids. I'm not going to lie. I know the Canes are in action tonight. I'm going to check this out to see what it looks like. Because if you can present a sport in real time in a different way, who knows? Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll work. Can I get a Phineas and Ferb version? Who's Perry the Platypus? That's what I want.
Isn't that Agent P?
Yeah, that's Agent P.
There we go.
Perry the Platypus. I think they're bringing back Phineas and Ferb. Anyway. Is there a way that they can get a... Can we do the inverse? Can we get like a weird computer-generated version of Andrei Svechnikov back in the lineup?
Feels like that's what the Canes might need.
Yeah, the Canes might need that.
You might as well throw Max Pacioretty in there in the hologram while you're
honestly,
at it.
Yeah, seriously.
Let's go out to Coachella.
Let's get Ghost Man on the ice. So Andrei Svechnikov is getting shut down for the season after yesterday's reports from Elliot Friedman. The Carolina Hurricanes were looking for a second opinion on his knee, on his ACL. And the Hurricanes putting out a statement about him being out indefinitely. I think we all kind of understood where this was going. Optimism went out the window. And sure enough, statement went out at 3:30 this afternoon that Svechnikov is done for the season. So you mentioned Max Pacioretty. This is Andrei Svechnikov. These were the core guys that were viewed as the ones that can help the Canes get over the hump in the playoffs. The guys, the dudes to produce. You're missing two of them now. This matters. I'm not going to try to sit here and shape it in any other way than this sucks. It truly sucks for the Carolina Hurricanes, who have now had a series of key injuries over the last couple of years that have detonated their playoff chances. If you wanted to be optimistic, Joe, you can point to their defense and you can point to the unknown of a fully healthy Freddie Anderson getting on one. And we see this in the NHL all the time. A goalie can carry you far. Because all you got to do is score one and keep them from scoring one. Just one. And the Canes are capable of doing that, especially with the way that Marty Natchez has been playing. Sebastian Aho can step up. But I do feel like if this was going to happen at any time, at least it happens with about a month and a half left in the regular season. So they can get in a mode of shutting it down. We saw it against the Lightning. They played keep away against the Lightning.
For
There's ways
game.
To win.
Against the best goalie in the world.
And I think you can win a series that way. Can you win two? Can you win two? Maybe.
Winning a whole series that way is asking a lot.
Okay.
To dominate defensively that way in a whole series is asking a lot. Well, but what we haven't seen, Joe, is Freddie Anderson healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's disappointing for the Canes. Fifth year in a row, they're going to make the playoffs. And the fifth year, they're not going to be at full strength. Last year, it was Freddie. Two other years, it was Svechnikov. You know, you combine Svechnikov and Mats Pacioretty. That's two of your top six, or you're counted on top six, that you're not going to have available from your forwards in the playoffs. It's really hard to win that way. And it's a difficult way to win. And it's unfortunate for the Canes because they've been dominant in the regular season with Rod Brind'Amour as their coach. And we just haven't had the chance to see what they could be. And I didn't, when the trade deadline came and passed, and they didn't make a big splash, I didn't dislike it because that was them showing faith in what they had. But, of course, a big part of what they have was Andrei Svechnikov. And to not have him, you're now going to need a Jordan Staal to score some more goals. Not that he can't, but his role is more of as a stopper at this point in his career. So you're going to have to have a whole bunch of other guys step up into roles that they're not used to. That doesn't mean it can't happen. You know, remember the great first run with Warren Fogile scoring all the goals that he did, and it was like, where the heck did this guy come from? Maybe he's a gamer. Maybe he's a playoff guy. So maybe, you know, Seth Jarvis had a tremendous playoffs last year. Maybe he could be that guy again for the Canes.